Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Good Tuesday morning. Vanessa Denhagarmo filling in for my dear sister this morning here on Catholic Connection, a co-production of EWTN. Always a pleasure to sit in her host chair. Here I'm the host of Epiphany on Ave Maria Radio as well. It is 41 days until Election Day, and we continue to pray for this country and that God's will be done. And I've been praying the St. Michael Novena with my friends and family as we lead into the election season. I've also been praying a Novena St. Therese of Lisieux. And I love this commentary about St. Therese today that I received as we pray this Novena. She prayed from her heart as a child speaks honestly and trustingly to a parent they love. Today, let's pray for free and open communication within our lives. Communication is the foundation to trust, honesty, and therefore love. Let's pray for this to manifest itself in our relationship with the Lord, as well as a relationship with our families and friends. And I've devoted my entire professional career to communications. I was a full-time reporter in the secular media. That's where I met Teresa many years ago. We both worked for ABC affiliates here in Detroit, and we became fast friends and friends ever since. We met covering same stories. And communication, I went on and received my master's degree in communications and wrote about bullies in the workplace. And I am a leadership development coach, Catholic leadership development coach as well, that focuses on communications in the workplace. And that's why I love this quote from St. Therese of Lisieux. I actually do communication audits for clients, and I go in and audit how they're communicating, because there's such a disconnect. Some people have high turnover, toxic work environments, because conversations really do create the culture in a workplace. And as Christians, we can do our duty to bring faith to work with us. And you don't have to do it in an overt way, because I know you've got issues with HR, but you can bring your Christian faith to work with you in some way, shape, or form. And that has a lot to do with how we communicate, with Christ at the center of our communication and calling on the Holy Spirit to guide us. And especially as we have these critical conversations about what's going on in the country today from a political perspective, these policies and these issues, and we're so politically divided. And we know that division comes from the enemy, and it's Christ that wants us to unite us. And when you are united with these Christ-centered communication conversations, right? We are united when we communicate with Christ at the center. We have to find a way to have common ground. And that communication really starts in private communication with prayer, with our own relationship with Christ. And when we grow closer to Christ, we're able to have these fruitful conversations with our friends and our family, even if we don't totally agree on all these issues. Saint Francis of Assisi, who's also another one of my favorite saints, and it was my dad's favorite saint, said we should turn our lives into a prayer so that we're in conscious contact with God every waking moment of the day. We should turn our lives into a prayer so that we're in conscious contact with God every waking moment of the day. We have to have these conversations with Christ in prayer and building our own relationship, reading scripture and the catechism of the Catholic Church. So when we're out in the world, Christ comes with us in these conversations. We celebrated the feast day of St. Padre Pio yesterday, and he has so many wonderful quotes as well, and they just really resonate with me. He was my Uncle Ronnie's favorite saint. My Uncle Ron passed away several years ago, 20 years ago. He's also my friend Jeff Kassav's favorite saint, and Jeff and I co-facilitate a book club called Epiphany Book Club, and we love St. Padre Pio. And St. Padre Pio said, "Let us become saints so that after been together on earth, we will together forever be in heaven." He also said, "The Lord sometimes makes you feel the weight of the cross. Although the weight seems intolerable, you're able to carry it because the Lord, in his love and mercy, extends a hand to you and gives you strength." He also said, "Today's society does not pray, and that is why it's falling apart." Boy, is that true. We do not pray. We've turned away from God and we've opened the door to the devil. That's why we're seeing so much spiritual warfare in the world today. We have to turn back to prayer and ask the Lord to guide us in every decision we make, including who and what to vote for this election season. And my all-time favorite quote from St. Padre Pio is this: pray, hope, and don't worry. Worry is useless. God is merciful and will hear your prayer. And this, I feel, is personally said to me because I have been a recovering worry wart. I'm also a recovering news junkie, which causes me to worry. and so this is such an important message to me. I have to remind myself of this every single day. Pray, hope, and don't worry, because I worry a lot about what's going on in the world, our future, the fact that so many people are blind to truth, or they've got this group think going on. We have to wake up people to what's really going on. And the only way to wake up is if you seek truth in Jesus Christ first. And when you seek truth in Jesus Christ first, you're going to see all the lies in the world. That's the only way your eyes are going to be opened up. And we have to pray for that, for our brothers and sisters. You know, this is a journey for all of us. And I can't tell you, I've been blinded so much over the years. And my eyes have been opened up to see what's really going on in the world. And we're called as Christians also to share the kerygma, right? What is the kerygma? It's a Greek word that means proclamation. It's the apostolic proclamation of the salvation through Jesus Christ. And we as Catholics are called to share the kerygma. And what are the seven elements of the kerygma? God loves you and has a plan for your life, but sin destroys that plan. Christ died to save you and me. We're called to repent and believe in the gospel. We're baptized and receive the Holy Spirit. We abide in Christ and his body in the church, and we go make disciples. That's what we're called to do, brothers and sisters. So let's continue to pray. Invite people to pray with you. I started a prayer with my sisters. I have six sisters. We pray every Friday morning on Zoom together for about 45 minutes. And we pray for so many things. It started praying for our mom who's ailing and her health. We pray for each other, our children. We pray for this country. Late, we've been praying the Novena to St. Michael for our country. And so maybe reach out with technology. You could pray with your family from all over the globe. So maybe set a time every week to pray with your community, your friends, your family for this country in this election season. We have two guests joining us here on Catholic Connection. Dr. Joseph Holcroft will be joining us, co-author of Contemplation, The Seven Sorrows of Mary, a chaplet with St. Alfonso Liguori. It's important we'll pray this as well. We ask for intercessory prayer of our Mother Mary and all the saints to pray with us and for us. I have a continued prayer I've been praying for the souls of purgatory. I've been asking them to pray for this country. So I pray for the souls in purgatory, all those past presidents and vice presidents and those who worked in government, to pray for our country. And I pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet for them. And I often name out presidents and I ask them to pray for us and for this country and the future of this country, because I think this is such a pivotal time in our country. I've never seen anything like this in my life. And I was a full-time former reporter. I've never seen anything like this. So we have to pray for our country. Dr. Joseph Holcroft will be joining us. And then Father John Paul Kern will be joining us, spokesperson for the Dominican Rosary Pilgrimage and executive director of the Dominican Friars Foundation, talking about the Dominican Rosary Pilgrimage on September 28th. Also talk about his Dominican Friars Foundation and other topics as well. And, of course, about the importance of prayer. It is 8 minutes past the hour here on Catholic Connection. I'm Vanessa Denhagarmo, filling in for Teresa Tomeo, and now it's time for the news. Looking at the forecast, some areas across the country here in the Detroit area, high of 63 degrees, definitely the fall season. Some rain showers and thunderstorms are expected here in Detroit. Also in Chicago with a high of 61, St. Louis, a high of 57 and cloudy skies. Cincinnati, high of 64 and also cloudy skies. And we look down south in Tampa, a high of 77 and cloudy skies. Rain showers in Miami, a high of 82 and San Antonio, high of 74 degrees. Phoenix, Arizona, it's going to be a high of 77 and cloudy skies. Los Angeles, a high of 61 and rain showers. San Francisco, 57 degrees is the high. Seattle, 58. And we look on the East Coast in Boston, 55 is the high. Cloudy skies, cloudy in New York. is 63, and rain showers and cloudy in Washington, a high of 65 degrees. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is declaring a state of emergency for dozens of counties as storm gains strength heading to the Gulf of Mexico. What's now officially a potential cyclone is expected to become a tropical storm Helene in the coming hours. It's expected to strengthen to a Category 3 hurricane by the time it makes landfall. Storm trackers show the hurricane making landfall Thursday night anywhere between the Florida Panhandle and the northern Gulf Coast. All this as many areas are still recovering from Hurricane Debbie, which hit in early August. Meanwhile, President Biden is in New York City today, where he will address the UN General Assembly. Scott Pringle reports.
This is one of Biden's last major speeches as president. He is expected to talk about the wars in Ukraine and Gaza and also talk about the future when it comes to the use of artificial intelligence and climate change. Meanwhile, Biden, while he's in New York, is hosting a summit to address synthetic drug threats. Biden's visit means more lane and street closures, and this could possibly be the worst day of traffic all week in Midtown Manhattan.
The man found guilty of fatally shooting 10 people at Boulder, Colorado grocery store will spend the rest of his life in prison. One of the shooter's brothers spoke after the verdict was read yesterday.
I feel bad and sorry for the victims, of course. I mean, if I was to put myself in their shoes, I probably would want him dead.
The judge passed down the sentence hours after the 25-year-old was found guilty on all 55 charges, including 10 counts of first-degree murder. The gunman opened fire at King Super Supermarket in March of 2021 in one of the state's worst mass shootings. The defense had argued he was not guilty by reason of insanity, alleging he did not know the difference between right or wrong. The gunman was sentenced to 10 consecutive life sentences without the possibility of parole. The U.S. is sending additional forces to the Middle East on what's being described as an abundance of caution. The move comes as tensions escalate between Israel and Iran-backed Hezbollah forces. As correspondent Zach Anders reports, Israel has been seeing success in airstrikes and isn't thought to be considering a wider ground operation at this time.
There's really no benefit to be gained by moving ground forces into southern Lebanon. It's an entirely different beast than Hamas in Gaza. Hezbollah's 100,000 men strong. There's really no way you can root out a guerrilla force like that.
Lebanese officials say Israeli airstrikes on Monday killed nearly 500 people, including dozens of children. California is the latest state cracking down on cell phones at school. Governor Newsom signed a law yesterday aimed at getting kids to pay attention in class. It requires all districts, charter schools, and county education officers to have a policy in place by July of 2026 that limits or bans phones. Newsom says this will help kids focus on academic social development and the world in front of them, not their screens. Whooping cough cases are on the rise in the U.S. Scott Carr has more.
The Centers for Disease Control reports there have been over 14,500 confirmed cases of whooping cough so far this year in the U.S. That's four times, they say, as many cases compared to last year's total number of cases. Health officials attribute the surge to missed vaccinations during the COVID-19 pandemic. The president-elect of the Infectious Diseases Society of America says there have also been outbreaks in children who were not vaccinated because of an increase in vaccine hesitancy that stems from the pandemic.
A USC student is behind bars on suspicion of assaulting a professor. Daniel Martindale has more.
It happened Monday morning inside a classroom in Daughter of Hall. The USC Department of Public Safety says the woman hit the assistant professor in the head with a metal water bottle during a class. The professor was taken to a hospital. Her condition is not clear. I'm Daniel Martindale.
Boeing officials say they've presented the striking machinist union with their best and final offer, an attempt to end the walkout that began on September 13th. The new offer reportedly falls short of some of the union's demands. However, it could give employees a general wage increase of 30% over 4 years. The last full-size Kmart store in the country is closing its doors. Andrew Whitman reports.
Attention, Kmart shoppers. Down from 2,000 stores to one, the chain's final full-sized store in the Continental 48 in eastern Long Island's Bridgehampton, set to close October 20th after 25 years. Kmart shoppers will have to head to Guam, the Virgin Islands, or to a small Kmart in Miami to see the figurative blue light shine.
A recent survey from Voice Nation found that only 8% of Americans are currently working in their dream jobs, with financial constraints being the biggest barrier for many Michigan residents. Whether it's the high cost of education, the risk of starting a new business, or the lack of financial support, many feel unable to pursue their ideal careers due to money concerns. Nearly a quarter of respondents pointed to family obligations as a key barrier. Other challenges include a lack of mentorship, health issues, and work-life balance. It's 15 minutes past the hour here on Catholic Connection. I'm Vanessa Dunha-Garmo, filling in for Teresa Tamio. We got to take a break. We'll be right back after this.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
This is Father Gregory Pine of Pints with Aquinas and God's Planning. The second annual Dominican Rosary Pilgrimage, sponsored by the Dominican Friars Foundation, is set for Saturday, September 28th at the Basilica of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C. This day-long event features conferences, confessions, recitation of the Rosary, Holy Mass, and a Hillbilly Thomas concert. Join us for a day of prayer to Our Lady. Learn more by visiting rosarypilgrimage.org. That's rosarypilgrimage.org.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
You remember the time I said on the air, go to confession. And when you're done, go out and have a big ice cream soda. Celebrate. And a man wrote to me, he says, you know, I hadn't gone to confession in 30 years. Do you mind if I went and had a pizza? I said, oh, have 20 pizzas.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Connection. Vanessa Dunha-Garmo filling in for Teresa Tamio here this morning. We're talking about the contemplating of the Seven Sorrows of Mary, a chaplet with St. Alphonsus Liguori. Talking with us about that is the co-author of the book, Dr. Joseph Holcroft. Doctor, thank you so much for joining us here today on Catholic Connection.
Great to be with you. Thank you for the invitation.
So tell us how this book came to be. What inspired you and your co-author to write Contemplating the Seven Sorrows of Mary?
Yeah, Ruth Burkhorst, who is the co-author of this book, had reached out to me with regards to my last book on intercessory prayer. And, you know, we just had an extended conversation. And as we were talking about the need to pray for the people around us and the world around us, 10, 15 minutes into the conversation, suddenly we were talking about Mary. We were talking about the seven sorrows of Mary and Mary's call to us to just not go deeper in personal prayer, but intercessory prayer. And it just, over a course of time, took the shape and form of a book. Dan Burke, who was one of the endorsers of the book with the Abel Institute and great author in spiritual theology, was a part of the initial conversation to get it going and to get it started. But yeah, it was really a phone conversation where Ruth and I just kind of were talking about, you know, the grave matter we see all around us. And, you know, it was just put on to our heart, I'd like to think, by the Holy Spirit to reflect upon the seven sorrows of Mary and do so with what it means to be a person of prayer, you know, a person who is inspiring to draw near to the heart of Christ with an orarium, and just really out from that, be mindful of the need to, as St. Paul reminds us, make our requests known to God.
You know, I remember watching a video clip from Father Ripperger, who is an exorcist, who talked about the power of the seven sorrows of Mary and the prayer against the evil one. Mm. Is that addressed at all? Do you address the power of that as we pray against evil in the world?
For sure. I would say in two areas. When you look at the question or answer the question, why does one pray the chaplet? It's first and foremost about consoling the heart of Mary. In fact, Mary told St. Bridget of Sweden, you know, look, there's no one around me to pity me, that there's no one to comfort me. And we must never lose sight of that, the importance of consoling the heart of Mary, being present to Mary, and really what a gift this is to us. And the second and third pieces certainly, I think, begin to address your question, where the first is first and foremost the importance of Our Lady of Sorrows teaching us those areas in our life where we need to grow, identifying those areas of spiritual growth and making sure that we ourselves are not slipping into the pattern of sin and grave matter. And thirdly, is to pray for the unrepentant sinner, to pray for those who are without a repentant heart. And in that space, really, do we kind of look at various aspects in this book, one of which is certainly evil. In fact, we set the book up in such a way where we, with each meditation, with each sorrow, we tie it to a saint and something we need to pray for. So, for example, with one of the sorrows, we tie it to Blessed Bartolo Longo, who was once a satanic priest, experienced a conversion, and now you talk with an exorcist today, the likes of the Father Ripperger, and he'll tell you that he calls upon Blessed Bartolo Longo in his rites. And why? Because he was a satanic priest who experienced this dramatic conversion. And so in that chapter, we actually talk about the rise of the occult and the importance of Our Lady in defeating the adversary and how important that is. That great passage from Genesis 3:15 where Mary is crushing the head of the serpent. So we spend quite a bit of time really looking at that carefully and saying, the more we pray the seven sorrows of Mary, mindful of the other reasons why we pray, consoling the heart of Mary, identifying our own areas of spiritual growth, we are praying for the unrepentant sinner. We are praying for the likes of a Bartolo Longo. It's interesting because when you look at Bartolo Longo's life, it was a close friend who was a prayer intercessor for him, who over the course of time, Bartolo Longo himself would say, was instrumental in his conversion. Mm. And how important was that he would, you know, go to Pompeii, Italy, this great blessed and this great intercessor for those who are battling Satan, that ultimately he would transform Pompeii into a Catholic epicenter. So, yeah, defeating the adversary, bringing the seven sorrows of Mary is very important to defeating the adversary.
We're talking about Contemplating the Seven Sorrows of Mary, a book published by Sophia Press with co-author here today. And let me ask you this, Dr. Holcraft. We're seeing so much spiritual warfare in the world today, such critical times is during this election season. And what we once believed the Satan was hiding is like front and center, and the world still doesn't see so much of the evil. How important is this prayer and this the chaplet of the Seven Sorrows of Mary as we head into this election season and praying for this country?
Yeah, well, it's very important because, as I was just suggesting, Mary is instrumental. It's worth considering, too, that when we reflect upon this with respect to spiritual warfare, that Satan's name means the devil's. When you actually translate the Greek devil, diabolos, it actually translates as to distract. The image in mind is like throwing a rock in the middle of the road and you're driving, suddenly you have to go left or go right. You have to make an unplanned turn, if you will. This is Satan's modus operandi, right? He's constantly distracting. He's constantly confusing. He's constantly trying to create these side glances where we're looking left and right and not focused on God. right? Now, what's interesting about this and why I bring it up and why it's so really, I think, important to the spiritual life and praying Seven Sorrows of Mary is because in Scripture, and Fulton Sheen was the first to draw this out, look closely into what that diabolos means, you know, to scatter, if you will. The diabolane is the Greek. When Mary ponders, you know, we read of Mary pondering what was going on from the infancy narrative to the finding of Jesus in the temple. What is she doing there? But she's weighing kind of back and forth, bringing together, making sense of all that which is going around her, right? So here you have the devil, right, Diabolos, Diabolane, trying to scatter versus Mary, who's trying to bring together, make sense of. And so Mary is instrumental in helping us make sense of what's going on in the world today.
Dr. Holcroft, we got to take a break. Hold that thought. We'll continue that, contemplating the Seven Sorrows of Mary. We're going to take a break, and we'll come back here on Catholic Connection.
And now, the EWTN Family Prayer with Father Joseph.
Family, a prayer that we pray together is a powerful prayer. So please pray together with me, our EWTN Family Prayer. Today we pray for those who have diabetes. Almighty God, we worship you, our Father. And we pray this day for those who suffer with diabetes. Look upon your children with this illness and grant them relief. Give them patience and the grace of perseverance in taking care of their health. Show them the way to physical and spiritual well-being. Let their cry come to your ears and bring them healing in mind and body and soul. We ask this in the holy name of Jesus, your Son. Amen.
What sins should Catholics mention in confession? According to the Catechism, we are obliged to confess serious sin at least once a year. A mortal sin must be confessed and sacramental absolution received before taking communion, unless there is a very grave reason for receiving communion and there is no possibility of going to confession. Confessing all the sins a penitent can remember undoubtedly places him or her before the divine mercy for pardon. If, however, a penitent knowingly withholds sins, he places nothing before the divine goodness for remission through the priest. Confessing venial sins is not strictly necessary, but is strongly urged by the Church in order to fight evil tendencies, to strengthen our conscience, and let ourselves be healed by Christ. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism. Thank you for listening.
We have been talking with Dr. Joseph Holcroft here on Catholic Connection, co-author of Contemplating the Seven Sorrows of Mary. And Dr. Holcroft, when I was thinking about this book and, you know, listening to you in the last segment, I couldn't help but think the importance of using this book as a prayer guide or as a book club discussion and having these critical conversations and praying for our country using this book, Contemplating the Seven Sorrows of Mary. What would you say about this, the importance of praying together as a community and using this book as a tool?
Yeah, well, you know, St. Teresa of Avila says spiritual reading can be a great tool, right, to just not draw closer to the heart of Christ, but to distance yourself, you know, from sin. So what I like about that is, and I've already been asked about this numerous times from folks around the country, in fact, the world, is, you know, our book club has turned into a prayer group. And how beautiful is that? So for me, really, and this was part of the discussion I had with Ruth, we have book clubs, and that's great. And you talk about the content, and if it's a spiritual book, it's spiritual content, praise God. But why not allow that to become actual prayer, actual lifting up your heart to God in such a way that it would begin to transform your heart, your, you know, your club, your parish community, your neighborhoods, and so on and so forth. So I love the idea so much that really it kind of goes back to your first question in that, you know, why this book? Because, you know, when you sit down with a group of people, it's just not a book club. It's a prayer group too. right? And how important is that in today's age? You know, we have to remember, James says that the fervent prayer of a righteous person yields great power. The deeper we go into prayer, the deeper we become one with God. What is the outgrowth? What is the manifestation of that union with Him? But a desire to do not only God's will, but also to pray for those who, again, as Mary reminds us to St. Bridget of Sweden, to pray for just not the repentant sinner, yes, but also the unrepentant sinner. This is what's so great today, is that we stopped caring, right? We stopped caring about the things that are going on. You know, St. Teresa of Avila talks about the spirit of complacency and how dangerous that is. If you were to ask me, what is the one thing that most concerns you today, is that we're going spiritually dormant. We've stopped caring. And we live in a world that stops caring, that is incredibly problematic. And because that's just a...
Well, it's dangerous. It's dangerous.
Incredibly dangerous. Yeah, incredibly dangerous. Mm-hmm. And so, to sit down with some folks, and I'm so excited to hear that a number of people are doing that with this book. It's so exciting because I then know it's just not a book club, but a prayer group. You know, because you can't read this book and not pray, because really it's a book that we try to walk through St. Alphonsus Liguori and say, okay, this is how you best pray the Seven Sorrows of Mary. And to be honest with you, really this is how you orient mind and heart to be better disposed to pray. And we do this in the context of the Seven Sorrows of Mary.
You know, and I was thinking too, Dr. Holcroft, this book, Contemplating the Seven Sorrows of Mary, available through Sophia Press and on the EWTN Religious Catalog. Use this as a tool, prayer as a foundation of having critical conversations about what's going on in the country. So we invite people as a form of prayer and using the book, but engaging in these critical conversations is so important, especially when we're not all agreeing on policies and issues, because the devil wants us to divide us. We stopped talking. Right? He doesn't want us talking. He doesn't want us to find common ground. And, and we see such a politically divisive country. We never used to be like this. We used to be able to cross party lines and have conversations and find kind of common ground and solutions. But it's so divided, and the devil is loving it. So why not? Go ahead.
I say that's it. Where there's division, there's the devil.
Yeah.
Right? And wherever there was unity, where that you see disunity, of course, because God and the Trinity is unity, where there's disunity, it's the devil, quite simply. Yeah.
Yeah, because so you're using this as in inviting your friends and family, and I do this all the time. I have a lot of friends, we don't agree on policies, but I say, will you pray with me? Let's pray for the country together. And then it prompts us to have these conversations, and then we realize, you know what, we agree pretty much on 90% of this stuff. You know what I mean? And before we were fighting with each other, and it's like, wait a minute. So when you start with prayer and using this book to invite people, I mean, can you imagine the problems we could solve if we could just found some common ground together?
Yeah. Well, and remember what St. Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 2:1. You know, we highlight 1 Timothy 2:5 because that's before there is one God and there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. We have this discussion about saints. Should we be praying to saints and so on and so forth? Well, what does St. Paul first say to Timothy? First, brother, I urge you to pray. So he not only then talks about intercession, though, by the way, but the first order of the church, the priority of the church, and of course, she knows this because the Eucharist is the source in some of the faith, is to do what but pray. And I love that point you make, because if we ground our conversations in prayer and not, say, the personalities of Donald Trump and Kamala Harris, we can then have a conversation that looks deeper into the issues, where then we can begin to think more clearly about right, wrong, good, evil, vice, virtue.
Yes. You know, it's so funny too, Dr. Holcroft, because one of my sisters, we have a group chat too, along with my sisters and I praying every Friday together. We have a text that we share together about prayer. And my sister, one of my sisters is a hairdresser, and she has all these clients who don't agree with her politically, right? So she's always invoking the Holy Spirit to guide her. She takes notes of what to say. And I'm going to share this book with her. I'm going to say, you know what? Let's read this book together and pray to help you guide to have these critical conversations with your clients when you're cutting their hair. You know what I mean? It's like those little things. You never know when the Holy Spirit is going to really move these people.
You really don't. In fact, in my other book, An Intercessory Prayer, the point I make is the first thing you need to do is to invite the Holy Spirit into that moment, because you don't know what God desires. Certainly, you know, the people who go in prayer and knowledge of the faith and come to better understand how God has revealed himself in salvation history. But in the present moment and how God desires to work in this next particular encounter, invite the Holy Spirit in that space. And I love that she does that. And just see what the Holy Spirit does. One of the great adventures, you know, of our faith is to just invite the Holy Spirit into each and every, and to begin to see and appreciate that each and every moment is charged with divine circumstance, pregnant with eternal significance. Because in the end, here we are in 2024. we need to be praying for the salvation of souls. And Philippians 2:12 reminds us, we need to work at our salvation, fear and trembling, and we cannot do better than to invite the Holy Spirit into each and every moment.
Amen. We have a couple minutes left with you here on Catholic Connection, and I don't go, 1 minute actually, Dr. Holcroft, I don't go on the air unless I invoke the Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit, give me the words you know other people need to hear. It's not my words, it's yours. Dr. Holcroft, about 30 seconds left with you. What else do you want to share with our listeners?
To get the book, right?
Yes.
And to pay close attention to the time we spend on the importance of disposition and mental prayer. What is meditation? What is contemplation? Because once we have entered into that space where we discover, truly discover, the power of meditating upon Mary's seven sorrows, and how that then orients us to everything we've been talking about with respect to just not first and foremost union with God, but the petitionary prayer that our Lord calls us to.
Thank you, Dr. Holcroft, for being with us here today on Catholic Connection. Contemplating the Seven Sorrows of Mary. Get your book today's Sophia Press. Stay with us, everyone. We'll be right back after this.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
John, chapter 8, verse 51. Jesus is in a discussion with some of the leaders of the Jews. They're talking about Abraham. Abraham lived 1,500 years before the time of Jesus. So in the course of the discussion, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." He says that often in the Gospels. "He who keeps my word or believes in me will never die." To which the Jews say, "Now we know you have a demon." And they say, "Abraham died, as did the prophets, all the patriarchs, the great men and women of the history of Israel. All these people died, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death? Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? And the prophets, who died?" And Jesus says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced that he was to see my day. He saw it and was glad." To which the Jews say, "You are not yet 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham?" And Jesus answers, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am."
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchak.
It's important for kids to have chores so they can learn how to contribute to a healthy, happy, peaceful household. But does your family make a little time every day to work together? Working together as a family gives parents an opportunity to model healthy attitudes toward work and stewardship and learn the basics of responsibility. Doing dishes together, cleaning up the family room together each evening, folding laundry together are just a few examples, but whatever the actual task, the important thing is that family work rituals help a family learn to be a strong team. That's one reason family rituals for working together are such an important part of Catholic family life. To discover more ways your family can celebrate the liturgy of domestic church life, check out the newest editions of Parenting with Grace and visit CatholicCounselors.com. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Wow, Welcome back to Catholic Connection. Vanessa Denha-Garmo filling in for Teresa Tamio. We're talking about the Dominican Rosary Pilgrimage coming up on September 28th. To talk with us about that and so much more is our next guest, Father John Paul Kern. Father, how are you today?
I'm doing so well. Pleasure to be on with you this morning.
Thanks for coming on. So give us an overview of the Dominican Rosary Pilgrimage and the Friars Foundation. So give us about give us an overview of the pilgrimages first, coming up the September 28th.
So yeah, coming up on September 28th, we're going to be having our second annual Dominican Rosary Pilgrimage. And this is a full-day event at Mary's House, the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C., and it's really a day of prayer, preaching. We're going to have, obviously, praying the rosary together, adoration, confessions. And we're going to be together with the Dominican friars, Dominican sisters, and thousands of pilgrims from across the country, all to be led more deeply into meditating upon the mysteries of the rosary with the help of the Blessed Virgin Mary to draw close to Jesus. And our hope is really that this event powerfully energizes us and fills us with the Holy Spirit to run out and share Jesus with the world. So that's a basic overview of what's in store for the event that day.
Why is it so important for us at this time to participate in a pilgrimage like this today, Father?
Well, Our Lady, as she has appeared to us many times throughout the past centuries, has asked us to pray the rosary. She's especially encouraged us to pray the rosary together. And I think that right now, we're at a time where the two main things we need to focus on would be the Eucharist, and the U.S. bishops have done a great job in focusing our attention there with the Eucharistic revival, and we're now heading into the year of mission. And the second would be the Blessed Virgin Mary, and really her gift of the rosary. In a certain sense, she's the mother who reaches out very far with the gift of the rosary to bring people closer to her son. And so right now, for us to be very firmly rooted in these two things that are so fundamental when there seems to be so much confusion and so much instability around us, it's very important that we're deeply rooted in these things.
Yeah, and you know, and I'm a big proponent, Father, in the invitation, inviting people to participate in such pilgrimage, especially those who maybe fallen away. And sometimes all it takes is an invitation. People feel like they don't know what to do, or they don't know how to pray, and maybe the Lord is putting on somebody's heart to invite somebody to this. What would you say about the importance of inviting others?
Oh, absolutely. So we try to make it as easy as possible to invite others. So if you go on our website, rosarypilgrimage.org, you have all the information for the day. Also, if you want to order prayer cards for yourself, or even if you want to order prayer cards for your whole parish, we'll ship you these novena prayer cards that are basically, it's a prayer, but also an invitation for people. And as you pointed out, even people who are a little further away from the church, not so much engaged, well, they can still come on a pilgrimage. This event, this beautiful church with many people, they can participate in praying the rosary. If the Spirit moves and they're ready, they have the opportunity to go to confession with our wonderful Dominican friars, people that, you know, some of the people just, they need a little invitation and a little new scenery, a new opportunity that opens them to God doing something in their lives. And you can work very, very powerfully through that. So we really appreciate everyone, including you, having us on this show to get the word out, to invite everyone to join us for the Dominican Rosary Pilgrimage.
So again, this is happening on September 28th. It's starting at 9 a.m. The doors open. There's an opening procession in the upper church, Conference 1, Going Godward with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Father James Sullivan, in the upper church, Exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, Confession in the Memorial Hall, Book Signing at the Bookstore, Benediction in the upper church. There at 2 p.m., there's a Conference 2. The Rosary is the scenic view along the way with Father James Sullivan. And then 2:30, there's an enrollment in the Confraternity, the Most Holy Rosary. I've joined that. And 3 p.m., the Most Holy Rosary. And then 4:30, there's a Vigil Mass. And then 7 p.m., there's a conference. So it's a concert, rather, Father. It's a whole day. It's packed.
yeah, it's really full, and it's beautiful to see how some of the elements have grown even from our kickoff last year. So we had so many people share with us how nourished they felt in the faith, and I have to say that praying the rosary with thousands of people together in that beautiful Basilica of Our Lady, when we were just praying each of the Hail Marys, it was kind of like, you know, so it was kind of like the roar of an army chanting together, or almost wow. like the heavenly choir, like uh-huh. all praying in unison.
How beautiful.
And people, you know, people felt so built up with that, and, you know, kind of the crescendo with the vigil mass. And they said, that was wonderful, but you friars so quickly went back across the street to the Dominican House of Studies for your prayers and your dinner afterwards, that we kind of wanted to, like, hang out and spend more time with you and thank you and share some of the graces that we received on this retreat. So that's where we decided to add on a little sort of fellowship time, a time of community after that mass at the end. So we have this concert with the Hillbilly Thomists, our Dominican Friars bluegrass band, and they're going to be playing that concert from 7 to 9. And that's sort of like an after event at the end of the day for people to just kind of be able to share what they experienced on the pilgrimage, little graces that the Lord has given them, words that spoke powerfully to them, and, you know, just to kind of allow that to overflow all the graces of the day into a wonderful time of community.
We're talking with Father John Paul Kern here today, and I understand, too, Father, for those who can't make it in person, can watch it live stream on YouTube and Facebook.
Yes, absolutely. So, again, all the information on our website, rosarypilgrimage.org. If they go there, they can watch the live stream right there. We sort of have embedded the YouTube right on the website, so they'll be able to follow along and pray with us and hear the conferences throughout the day. We're on our Facebook page. They also, if they sign up on the website, it gives them the option that basically they're going to be emailed a little reminder and a link and a program for that day to follow along. So all that information at rosarypilgrimage.org. And again, by way of invitation, if you have friends who are on the other side of the country and they're probably not going to be flying out to join us on a few days' notice at this point, but they might want to taste, or they might enjoy hearing one of the conferences preached, or pray along with the rosary. absolutely, you can share that information, and they can participate and pray with us via the live stream.
We'll put it up in the archive section of Catholic Connection here at AveMariaRadio.net. We got to take a break, and when we come back, I want to talk about the night before the pilgrimage on Friday, September 27th, what's happening. So stay with us, everyone. We're going to continue this conversation with Father after the break.
Every year, couples who go on the Ave Maria Radio's Good News Cruise testify how their marriages are revitalized and transformed. When we said cabins are filling fast, we meant it. The 2025 cruise is sold out. But it's the Good News Cruise, not the Bad News Cruise. So the 2026 Good News Cruise is planned and taking orders. There'll be new special and surprise guests and familiar ones from Ave Maria Radio, as well as Father Michael Schmitz and Father Joe Krupp. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the travel tab to find out more.
This October 8th, our sponsor, Spirit Juice Studios, presents The Full Story of a Hero, narrated by Jonathan Rumi.
Father Flanagan lived his life by a simple principle, that we are all children of God, and it is our responsibility to care for one another.
Heart of a Servant, The Father Flanagan Story, rated PG-13. Tickets and info at fatherflanaganfilm.com. That's fatherflanaganfilm.com. Exclusively in theaters nationwide, October 8th.
Do you have a teenager at home who's full of potential? Too often the world is telling you to be content with mediocrity instead of raising respectful and responsible young adults with strong character. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. If you need some help, not only to navigate those teen years, but to really enjoy them, check out my book, Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens, as well as my other books, on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins.
More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
And we're back here on Catholic Connection talking about the pilgrimage this Saturday. All are invited. And if you can't make it in person to D.C., you can watch online. Father John Paul Kern has been joining us. And Father, I understand there's something going on the Friday before. Tell us about what's happening on the 27th.
Absolutely. So Friday the 27th, the evening before the Dominican Rosary pilgrimage, we're having a special event for young adults. We're calling it the Young Adult Prayer Vigil the evening before. And that's going to be at the St. John Paul II National Shrine. It's going to be an evening of sort of preparing ourselves to dive very deeply on a full day event Saturday at the Dominican Rosary pilgrimage. That Friday evening between 6 and 9 p.m., we're inviting young adults to come join us there for a holy hour. And then we're going to have a live episode of the Godsplaining podcast with some of our Dominican friars, including Father Gregory Pine. And then we'll have a reception evening and some time of fellowship there, as sort of a welcome for all of our young adult pilgrims that are joining us for that pilgrimage the next day at the National Basilica. Mm.
That's wonderful. So what else do you want to share with our listeners? What else do you want them to know?
Well, I think while the Dominican Rosary Pilgrimage, as we're having it here in Washington, D.C., is an exciting new event. We're getting into our second year for this national pilgrimage this coming Saturday. I would like to share some of the much deeper roots in that, you know, the Dominican Order has been promoting the Rosary for 800 years since St. Dominic first received the Rosary from the Blessed Virgin Mary to help him on his preaching mission. He was preaching to these Albigensian heretics who denied the goodness of material creation and therefore the incarnation and the sacraments. And so Our Lady gave him this powerful spiritual weapon in the Rosary that contains all the mysteries of Christ's life, the mysteries of the incarnation, to help spread that truth far and wide in a prayer that people could, you know, hold on to with their bodies, with their hands, and pray with the beads, but then also be led very, very deep spiritually to meditate on Christ. And so as this spread throughout the world and became a very, you know, almost universal Catholic devotion, the Dominican Order has also continued to promote throughout the centuries devotion through large events such as the Dominican Rosary Pilgrimage, and actually our events in Washington, D.C. is really the continuation and bringing to the United States a devotion that's been happening for over 100 years at Lourdes, where all of the French Dominican friars and sisters lead the nation of France in a Dominican Rosary Pilgrimage that they've been doing for over a century, and many graces have come. And so when we learned from our brothers and sisters over there that this was such a powerful way that Our Lady was bringing people closer to Jesus, once we got through that awkward time of COVID, which made the large, exciting event so difficult for us to have, and you know, we missed out on seeing each other in person in various ways, well, we thought, well, this is the opportunity for us to bring this wonderful tradition here to the United States, and what better place than Mary's house, the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in D.C., right next to our Dominican House of Studies, the largest house of Dominican friars in the United States. So we're happy to really be drawing from the depths of tradition and the way that the Lord has worked powerfully for centuries, and yet to bring this to people in a new way here and now, to invite the Lord to work powerfully in our midst.
You know, and Father John Paul Kern is who we're talking to, and you've shared with us that you really enjoy preaching retreats and leading pilgrimages. How does that help you, Father, grow in your own faith journey?
Oh, my goodness. Well, one of the gifts of being a preacher is that, you know, we all need to be praying for our own sake. We all need the Lord.
Yeah.
But when I need to prepare something that I'm going to be sharing with people, I realize that I need to be praying and meditating on the truth that God wants to share with me even more deeply so I can be sharing it with others. And so things like this Rosary pilgrimage, it's funny, you know, it's like we're all We're all preaching the truth that we ourselves need to hear. And by leading a pilgrimage, it's also making sure that we ourselves are going on pilgrimage. So, you know, the rosary is something that all the Dominican friars and sisters and nuns pray every day. But even for us, a pilgrimage is an opportunity to sort of leave behind the everyday patterns, to block out this time and dedicate ourselves totally to God, open ourselves to whatever he wants to do, whatever he wants to say to us that day. And by us ourselves organizing and inviting people and leading this pilgrimage, we also have the benefit of going on this pilgrimage. And Father James Brent, who was our homilist at last year's pilgrimage, he really emphasizes this beautiful image of the upper room where the apostles were gathered with the Blessed Virgin Mary in prayer and praying with her. And that's what led to then Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. And so I think that's a beautiful image for us where we ourselves are gathering around the Blessed Virgin Mary in prayer and inviting everyone else to do so, indeed praying that we may be led closer to Jesus and receive this coming of the Holy Spirit in power, because we're not meant to be hiding away in the room the way that the, you know, the disciples were doing for fear of the Pharisees after Good Friday, but rather to receive the Holy Spirit in power and to go out to boldly proclaim the gospel. So we pray that in a sense, everyone may be built up through this event along with us to join us in the preaching and the presentation of Jesus Christ to the world.
Amen. Father John Paul Kern, thank you so much for joining us here on Catholic Connection and sharing with us the story of the Dominican Rosary Pilgrimage and the Dominican Friars Foundation. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Vanessa. Pleasure to join you, and look forward to seeing many pilgrims at our Dominican Rosary Pilgrimage on Saturday.
Yes, amen to that. God bless you and all that you do. Thank you for tuning in here on Catholic Connection. Vanessa Denha-Garmo filling in for Teresa Tamio. God willing, I'll be filling in tomorrow as well. Have a great and blessed day.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tamio. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruczek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.